Hello and welcome to the Valley Voices podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Cirillo from New England Public Radio. This is where we share stories originally told live on stage at our Valley Voices Story Slams, produced with our friends at the Academy of Music Theater. On this episode, you'll hear the winners of the second slam of the season held at Gateway City Arts. The theme of the night was In the Mood. We'll start out with a story from Eddie Brennan about the first time he was in the mood, the night he lost his virginity and fathered a child.
Thanks for coming out and hearing these stories. My name is Eddie Brennan. And I want you to know, though I was a middle child, I was a pretty happy kid. I was an MVP athlete and a straight-A student. My junior year, the University of Texas School of Architecture accepted me. And the summer between my junior and senior years, I met Megan and finally did it. We were 16, and it turned out to be awesome. Like roller coasters, butterflies, you know how it... I knew immediately why nobody admits to virgins how it feels. And I saw the universe, like all of it, and it was beautiful. But it turns out also a bit of a trickster. And it's not like I wasn't warned. Around this time, I couldn't leave the house without my mom screaming at the back of my head, "I'm not ready to be a grandmother." Moms, always thinking ahead. We broke up a couple of weeks later. We lived in small towns, 10 miles apart. What went on for her outside of Silver Creek was a mystery to me. And I later found out I wasn't the only one in the dark. About 6 months after that first night, Megan collapsed at the bus stop and was rushed to Lakeshore Medical, where one of the ER nurses was my mom. And the doctor did something that evidently nobody had done in some time. They unzipped Megan's puffy winter coat. And when I got home from school that day, my mom assaulted me with a manila folder that was a stolen medical record. And I don't mean to point the finger, but that's a felony. Read it. Okay. And I'm like looking like Megan O'Brien, emergency, distended abdomen, fetal heartbeat. What? What is happening? I can still see the look on my mom's face. She is not confused like me. She is scared and ashamed. She said they had to airlift her to Buffalo to do an emergency surgery. They had to end the pregnancy. I like stumbled down the corridor of Buffalo General Children's Hospital and made it into Megan's room. And she was on the bed and she barely said two words to me. She handed me a Polaroid picture and my world disappeared. I found myself in the neonatal intensive care unit in front of an incubator and inside like a ball of medical tape and tubes in the shape of a tiny premature baby. Somebody drove me home. I was like, "Mom, sorry." But can a fetus really live in the world after 24 weeks? And who loses their virginity and fathers a child at the same time? We get a lawyer. We request a blood test, and we sit back and wait for an answer that never comes. Months go by. Graduation is nearing. I'm supposed to leave for college, but I can't. Not with the Polaroid in my nightstand. I take it outside and I light a match, but it goes out. I do another and another. Don't do it. I use my body to create a pocket of still air, and the flames are so colorful as a Polaroid disappears. Of course, the shame did not disappear. That was placed in my chest. It came with me to Texas. I'm gonna go over. And I missed the first 18 months of my son's life, and that stung. Matt, he's married now. He and his wife just bought a house, which they moved into a couple weeks ago, day before his 33rd birthday. He's a bright light in my life. He's a gift to the human race, and you are welcome. And thank you. I'm so glad that's over.
That was Eddie Brennan. Eddie is a father, husband, author, and Northeastern Southerner who loves words, hates grammar, and writes for kids. If hearing his story has you thinking about what you'd tell on the Valley Voices stage, visit our website, nepr.net/valleyvoices, to learn how to audition for the next slam of our season. The theme is Open Road. Next up, Valerie Reese opens up about vulvar vestibulitis.
Hi, I'm Valerie Reese. So I did that exercise in which you imagine what outfit your vagina would wear if it could wear clothes. And mine was wearing a black leather motorcycle jacket and hot pink boxing gloves. Yeah, it's basically the fashion equivalent of a giant do not enter sign. And that's because I have this condition that's a very unsexy condition called vulvodynia, which is maybe Latin for my vagina hurts when things go inside of it. And I have a particular subset of this, which is even less sexy, called vulvar vestibulitis, which is vestibule. So basically in a house where you would take off your jacket and boots, basically the mudroom of the vagina. And mine really hurts. And it makes sex hard, it makes tampons hard, it makes all kinds of things hard. So I went to get some help for this. And the first person I met was Amy. She was something called a pelvic physical therapist, which is a thing, it's really a thing. And insurance covers it. And I did not know what to expect. I laid down on the table and Amy was lovely and warm and she put on her glove and put a very thankfully slender finger up in there. And it was weird because it thankfully was not the gynecologist, but it also wasn't sexual, but what was it? But she started probing around and putting her finger on really tender places. And I was like, ah, but then I was like, oh, that feels good. And then she kept doing it and kept doing it, doing trigger points. And I was like, oh, this is like a deep tissue massage, but you know, for my vagina. And I started to feel good. And she gave me homework, vagina homework. And I did a lot of something called reverse Kegels. And then I met a guy and I didn't want to be wearing boxing gloves for him. I wanted my vagina to be wearing a white summer dress with like white cotton panties. And I really worked hard. I went to Amy and I did my homework and I was able to have sex again. And it was like downright tolerable and sometimes even really, really enjoyable and sometimes even excellent. And we got married and I got pregnant and had a baby and I moved far away from Amy, who had become like vagina helper famous by then. So she was already, I was already kind of priced out. But we were in this new town and my vestibule got kind of cluttered and sore again. And I couldn't have sex. And it sucked because it's really hard to sort of feel broken in that way. And so my husband and I went to a wonderful sex therapist named Jassy, a British woman who says things like, everybody is sitting on their genitals all of the time, but we all pretend that they don't exist. I found that to be super true. I wanted mine not to exist. I wanted to sometimes just be like Barbie down there. So I didn't talk to anyone about this. There was a lot of shame, and I felt just so ashamed, and it sucked for my husband, and it sucked for me, and I didn't feel like I could talk to my friends about it. And a lot of my friends were moms on play dates, and I couldn't really be like, as the kids are running around, I couldn't really be like, what are you guys doing for camp this year? Oh, and by the way, I can't buck. Like, that just didn't feel like appropriate. Jassy suggested that I might start to get over some of the secrecy and shame by sharing this story with people, right? And I think what she meant maybe was like a couple of people. but here we are, the dozens of us, and you're hearing the story. So thank you.
That was Valerie Reese sharing her story at Gateway City Arts in Holyoke. This was Valerie's first story slam, but she's been writing stories as a journalist and essayist for a long time. When she's not doing that, the native New Yorker is chasing or feeding her 5-year-old son. Want to keep up on what's happening around the region, from storytelling open mics to workshops and everything in between? Join our Facebook group, Valley Storytelling Community. We post our podcast episodes there too, along with audition deadlines for Valley Voices, video from recent slams, and more. And now for our last story, which comes from Lauren C. Ostberg, who as a 16-year-old was in the mood for a little change, a little something new.
Hi, I'm Lauren Ostberg. Hi. So I'm 16, eating a bowl of Kix, and I ask my mom, don't you ever feel like you're just accelerating towards death? This was not out of character for 16-year-old Lauren. I had been wearing black turtlenecks and a beret since the 8th grade. I had this sort of Midwestern, turn-of-the-millennium beat poet aesthetic going on. I was also writing editorials for my school newspaper, so I was always trying out sort of strong openings on my mom, and also sort of trying out two-word pairings like superficial patriotism or bulimic learning in just conversation at the family table. But I was also genuinely concerned about acceleration and death. Acceleration, we'd been talking about it a lot in my math and science classes, and sort of the insistence of the integral, the per second of gravity, was agitating to me. And just death, you know, broadly as a theme, was of concern. So my mom, who trained as a psychologist, was prepared for this and just engaged in a little active listening. And she said, so it sounds like you've noticed that as you get older, time just goes a lot more quickly, and something like a half hour, which seemed forever when you were a little kid, now it's just over like that. And I said, sort of. And she said, sure, I feel that way sometimes, which is shocking. My mother just admitting in conversation that sometimes she feels like she's accelerating towards death. And she says, but what you haven't accounted for is the density of experience. And I say, what does that mean? And she said, you know, like, there's more, experience gets richer as you get older. So like when grandma talks to you, maybe about a problem you're having, she remembers what it's like to be someone your age, maybe feeling the things you feel, maybe having the same problems you have. She remembers what it's like to be the mother of a person your age and that experience. And she gets to enjoy the experience of being your grandmother in the present moment. And I say, density of experience. And I sort of pictured the slow spiral of a snail's shell. And I'm mollified a little bit for a few weeks. But the more I think about it, the more I'm not worried about either sort of the acceleration or death. I'm more worried that nothing is ever going to happen in my life. So rather than sort of a slow spiral of a snail's shell, I'm worried that I'm an uberus, you know, the snake swallowing its own tail. So at the dinner table, but not during dinner, I think we're drinking sleepy time tea together, I try to explain this to my mom. And I say, Mom, it's just like every morning I wake up, I'm in the same bed, I go downstairs, I go to the same school, take the same classes with the same people, come home, eat dinner with the same family, go to orchestra, do my homework, and then go to sleep in the same bed and just begin the same doomed cycle anew. And mom says, why don't you sleep on the couch? And I don't think she understands the gravity of my situation. So I just repeat, sleep on the couch. And she says, sure, it's one thing you can change tonight. And so I say, the family room couch? And she says, I mean, you could sleep on the living room couch if you want, but I think the family room's more comfortable. So I try it out. And that night I sleep on the family room couch. And you know what? It is different. It's darker back there because I'm by the backyard instead of my neighbor's front yard. It smells different. I've decided to sleep in a sleeping bag to really get the full effect, and there's sort of a residual campfire scent. And it sounds different. Through sort of the vent, I can hear my parents just talking to each other in their room at night. And it's one of the first times I can remember really realizing that they have conversations that aren't about me and don't even involve me. So, and this mollifies me for at least a few weeks. So when my friends ask what's new, instead of saying nothing ever, I say, I'm not wearing a bra today. So now I'm the mother of a toddler, sort of one of the moodiest of creatures. And recently he came up to me crying because it was daytime and he wanted it to be nighttime. And a large part of me wanted to say, like, buck up, buttercup, wait 4 hours. But then I remembered how long 4 hours is when you're 3 years old. And I remembered what it feels like to be, you know, confined by your circumstances. And so I channeled my mom and I said, you know what? Oh boy. You know what? Let's build a blanket fort. And in there, it'll be dark like nighttime. We can use our flashlights like nighttime. And we can read books like we do at bedtime. And he's not just mollified by this. He's genuinely delighted. And when I called my mom that evening, I was sure to tell her about it to add another layer of density to the experience.
That was Lauren C. Ostberg talking about the density of experience. Lauren is a lawyer, writer, and aspiring politician who actively invites comparisons to Ben Franklin. You'll be able to see Lauren, Valerie, and Eddie live on stage this fall at the Best of Valley Voices at the Academy of Music Theater in downtown Northampton. Tickets to that show will be available later this month. But we do have tickets on sale now for the very last slam of our season. We're taking the show to Hawks and Reed in Greenfield on Thursday, June 6th. You can grab your tickets now at nepr.net/valleyvoices. The theme for the night is Open Road. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some wild road trip stories to start the summer off right. Don't forget, if you've got a story to share, you can audition to tell it on stage that night by calling our hotline and leaving the first line of your story. The phone number is 413-735-6688. You can find out more at nepr.net/valleyvoices. Our next episode will feature stories from Matthew Dix, Anna Bowen, and Kevin Gallagher on the theme TMI, or Too Much Information.
Can a man maintain his dignity and sense of self-respect with his head down and his ass in the air?
That and more cringeworthy TMI stories await you next time, so be sure to subscribe to the Valley Voices podcast on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, leave us a review. That helps others find the show. You can also find us on Stitcher and at nepr.net/podcasthub. The Valley Voices Story Slam is produced by New England Public Radio and the Academy of Music Theater, with special thanks to our Season 5 venues, Gateway City Arts, New City Brewery, and Hawks and Reed Performing Arts Center. Big thanks also to Holyoke Media and East Hampton Media. Thanks to them, you can watch all the stories shared at Valley Voices on our website, nepr.net/valleyvoices. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the next episode of the podcast. Until then, keep your ears open for a good story and check out some of New England Public Radio's other podcasts, like In Contrast, which explores art and politics through interviews with people like Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Forrest Gander, who talks about his new work of poems, Be With. Look for In Contrast on the NEPR Podcast Hub or wherever you find podcasts. Thanks for joining me for this episode of the Valley Voices Podcast. See you in a few weeks.